I'm your host, Emma Ng, and you're listening to Goody at CITR 101.9 FM, playing from the UBC Point Grey campus on unceded Musqueam territory. At Goody, we talk to the do-gooders who are using business, innovation, and creativity to create positive change in the world. Today we are talking to sustainable and slow fashion designer Lila Bédard-Potvin. Lila is the creative mind behind the fashion brand Harley J, which has been featured on Radio Canada, the Vancouver Sun, the Monte Cristo magazine, and many more blogs, and she aims to promote sustainability through ethically and environmentally conscious fashion. And she dreamed of working in fashion growing up, but she never thought she would become a designer. And after working a day job, she realized that the repetitive nature of it was not for her. So she gathered her savings and started a brand. We will hear her story of driving from a small town in Quebec to Vancouver in the middle of winter to pursue her dreams. So, Lila, you're originally from Quebec City and drove down to Vancouver when you were only 20 years old to study fashion merchandising. Was fashion always this childhood passion and interest for
you?
Yes.
It was always an interest, but not always a career choice. When I was younger, I wanted to be a lawyer for a little bit, and then I wanted to open a spa. But fashion was always part of me when I was a little girl. I'm from a very, very small town. It's 10,000 people, and there was one children's wear boutique that made really nice clothes. And I would go in the store while my grandma was having lunch with her friend next door, and I would put on outfits, and then I would walk out of the store and go into the restaurant and show my grandma, and then she would buy me the one that she liked the most. So it started at a very young age. I always liked clothes and buying clothes. But yeah, it wasn't always on my mind that I was going to work in fashion.
So you eventually studied fashion merchandising, but like, why not fashion design?
It's really funny because it was never a question for me. It was always, if I'm going to do fashion, I'm going to do the marketing side of it or the business side of it. It never even crossed my mind that I could do design. And I think that it's because I associated design with drawing, and I'm like really bad at drawing, or, you know, I've never even given it a chance, so I can't say that I'm so bad at it, but it was never, I don't know why, I just thought it was easier to go the business route.
And you never took any sewing classes in high school, right?
No, I'm from a very small town, so we didn't have a lot of options. It was kind of, the curriculum was what it was. Yeah, so I've never even taken a sewing class.
So after you finished your schooling, you sort of had this plan to get out of there and learn English and then study fashion, and you drove in the middle of winter to get to Vancouver, right?
So my best friend and I, we drove from Quebec City to Edmonton first. That was our first destination. We stayed there for 7 months to learn English, basically. And we drove in the middle of January, which was very scary. I would not recommend doing that. But yeah, we moved to Edmonton together because we wanted to learn English, and we knew a couple of people there. So our goal was to just get a job and become bilingual. And from there, she left me because she went to law school in Quebec. And then that's when I continued the drive by myself to Vancouver.
So you were like completing this full trek, carrying everything you owned by yourself to this new place.
By myself. I had never been to Vancouver. I had rented an apartment through Kijiji, because I didn't even know what Craigslist was back then. And I had met my future roommate on Skype, but I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
After completing this huge trek, you landed in fashion school. What was that like?
That was probably everything you'd think fashion school would be like. It wasn't a big campus, but so it was like a one-year program. The reason I did this program actually is because it was only 1 year. It's the only one that I found that was like that. And I wanted, my ultimate goal was to go to school in New York after, but I wanted to make sure that I actually liked the program before I went to New York and spent a lot of money going there. So the program was it was very fun. The courses were fun. The assignments were fun. I really gave it my 120%. I did 4 internships in a year. I was always volunteering on photo shoots and movie sets. And that was all new to me coming from such a small town. So that was a very fun experience.
So you had dreams of going to New York?
I wanted to go to FIT. Yeah. And I don't know, probably because I grew up watching Gossip Girl or something. And New York is close to Quebec, so it's kind of like the thing you aspire to, you know, you want to be there. But after doing my program, I realized that fashion wasn't the industry that I once thought it was. I just found it was very superficial and unethical, and I really kind of couldn't see myself continuing doing it. And I think at the same time, like, I would think I was 21 and I was discovering a little bit who I was. When you move away from like where you grew up, you're kind of left to yourself and you need to figure out who you really are and what your values are. And it was very interesting for me because I went from one extreme to another. And Vancouver is just known to be a little bit more hippie, and that really resonated with me. It was something I had never explored, like caring for the environment and others, and just all of that stuff was new to me, and I really felt connected to it. So fashion was not what I wanted to do anymore.
And was that mental shift or realization difficult for you because you'd been working for this dream for so long and then you realized, oh, like, maybe this isn't me anymore?
It was very, very hard, especially because I think when you're in your early 20s, you're lost in general. For me, not only was I now alone in a city that I didn't really know, well, I didn't know anyone. I had made friends, but I had no family support here. It was just me. When I was moving, it was myself moving all of my stuff in a cab. There was not like my granddad was going to come with his pickup truck and help out. It was just me. And it was hard too because I felt behind on my friends back home because, you know, they did the 2-year CJEP and then they went to university and they were like halfway through their bachelor's and soon they were going to get a job. And all I had done was a full year of this fashion marketing program, which was great. But because it was a full year, I didn't enroll to university after. So I was kind of losing 2 years. And I was very lost and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it was hard. But for some reason, I felt like Vancouver was where I wanted to stay. And eventually I knew that I wanted to get my bachelor's in something. And when I was in fashion marketing, I really liked my advertising and marketing courses. So I decided to go to SFU for communications.
So you got your degree in communications and you got your first full-time job. And what was that like for you? What was your job?
I was a communications coordinator for a nonprofit organization. It was in French. Which it was a good job that I got before even graduating, so that was awesome. But I had been supporting myself through, I was a waitress through my, you know, like all of the schooling that I did. And I was really, really craving a 9-to-5 job, like the stability of having my weekends and nights, and I couldn't wait to get this type of job. And then when I got it, it was quite the reality check, to be honest. I was like, wow, this is life. You get up, go to work, come home, make dinner, make lunch for tomorrow, watch TV, go to bed, and you do it all over again. And it was, yeah, these first couple months, it was hard. I couldn't believe that this was kind of life. And my boyfriend had been doing it for years, and I would ask him, like, you think that's okay? That's like what, that's life? Or just you do that every day and you live for the weekends? And like, yeah. And the other thing too is like my job was not, I wasn't passionate about it. I couldn't see, there was no room for growth or anything like that. So I think that if the job would have been more fulfilling, I would not have felt so trapped. But yeah, it was very interesting.
So how did daydreaming at work transition into getting back into fashion?
I It's around that time, I think a couple of months after I got this job, that I reconnected with fashion a little bit. I discovered a community of conscious consumers. I started thrifting, and I like learned more and more about sustainability.
Although sustainability is a really big part of your brand now, you didn't always know about these issues until you took a course at SFU.
There was one course that I took in particular. I remember sitting in this class every Wednesday and I would cry because the professor was showing us documentaries and like facts about like the state of the environment and how it's not shared in the news and how we're like at a tipping point, and I could not believe that I had gone my entire life without knowing any of these things.
So you started thinking about how you might combine sustainability and fashion again. And was there anything that sort of instigated a moment of action for you, or something that felt like, okay, I think I have to start doing something?
I went on a trip to Hawaii with some friends. And I remember just hanging out at the Airbnb we'd rented, and we were talking, and then I made a promise to myself while I was on that trip. I said, when I come home, I'm going to say yes to every opportunity that comes my way. It was time for me to like discover more about me and what I liked. So I got home, and that, funny enough, that one night that I got home around 11, I got a text from a friend who said, I need you to help me on a photo shoot in Tofino this weekend. I'm launching this ethical swimwear brand, and I need you to be there. Someone canceled on me last minute. And I went, and it wasn't easy to go because my boyfriend's grandma had passed away, and I needed to request the time off even though I had just been off on a holiday. But I made it work, and I went. And it is that single weekend that kind of changed my outlook on what I wanted to do.
And why was that such an influential moment for you?
But it was the first time that I was hanging out for a full weekend with creatives. You know, the girls that I was with, one of them was a photographer, the other one was a model slash designer, another one was an illustrator, and it was just really cool to just be with them, and they were creative, and I don't know, they were not following the typical routine, and there was just an energy that they had that I really wanted, and it just made me realize that there was other things than a 9-to-5 job in an office.
So you began to see this alternate reality for yourself, but what was the next step that you took to get there?
So I came home and I started researching ethical fashion. Then I had the idea of opening a store, an online store that would sell ethical brands. So I started researching brands and how to build an online store. But then when I was researching brands, I realized that there was not that many brands that aligned with my aesthetic, or you know, had the price point that I would be able to afford, or were clear about their marketing that they were ethical or sustainable or whatever it was. So I just thought, I'm going to do my own.
And what gave you the confidence to think, like, this is something that I can do?
I thought it was possible because my friend who launched the ethical swimwear line, she had no fashion background at all. So I knew that, you know, I didn't need to be a designer in order to do this. So I just decided to do it, and I didn't do it on my own. I had the help of a program that is called Factory 45. So they basically, it's like you have a mentor, and she's built this like online platform where it just teaches you how to start a sustainable apparel line. So from manufacturing to marketing and packaging, you have everything in there that like walks you through every single step.
So what was the first step you took in establishing your business?
I think the very first thing was deciding on a name. Very late at night, I remember being on the couch, and my boyfriend was upstairs. We lived in a loft, and I was like, how about this? And then I bought a couple domain names, and I woke up the next day. I was like, okay, this not this one. I think that was the first thing, buying the domain, deciding on the name, and then enrolling in that course. Like for me, enrolling in the course, I think was like the most tangible thing I could do because it cost money and I was on a schedule, like following up with the lessons. So it wasn't just like in the air.
So how did you start producing clothes?
So I, like I said, I'm not super good at drawing. So I had a clear idea in my mind of what I wanted. And I met with an illustrator that I found through the school I went to fashion for. And she just really got exactly what I wanted. I showed her some pictures, like I did some like very minimal drawings. And then she drew the collection. And then I went to a pattern maker and they... Yeah, then they do the pattern, and then we do the first sample, and then you do that 5-6 times at the beginning because you don't have anything to go off of. It's a long process, and at the beginning, I knew nothing about the industry, so it even took longer. 7 months later, we got into production.
So while it seems like you managed everything pretty well and you were working while starting this up, what was the most challenging part of this whole process?
Well, back when I started, it was finding the time. It was very exhausting to be on a schedule of I would get up around 5:30 and then work on Harley J and then go to work and then come home and work on Harley J until 10 and do it all over again. And I did it for maybe a couple months. And then when I launched, I felt so tired. For a couple of weeks, I was drained. Like, I think I burnt myself out. And so that was hard to, you know, juggle both. The other one is, it's just hard because I often wished I had a co-founder to, like, be excited about new ideas with and, like, bounce off of each other and be accountable for one another, too. Because when it's just me, and if I don't do something tonight, well... it's just me and I'll have to do it tomorrow. And then it has the domino effect, which everything gets delayed, but I'm the only one. So that's another tough one when you start on your own, to just be motivated.
So I think whenever you're starting something new, like a company, it can feel kind of vulnerable to expose like all your hopes and dreams to the world. Did you ever feel shy about building Harley J?
Oh my God, I was so shy. I'm pretty shy of nature with that kind of stuff. I was so shy. I remember when I put up the first photo or with the logo of Harley J to my Facebook, I thought about it for like, it was ridiculous. I kept editing the photo and re-editing it. And then 2 weeks after I posted it, and then 2 weeks later I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, I can't believe I posted that. Like, it was just like I put so much effort into this one photo with this announcement, but it was, in the end, you look back and you're like, oh, I would not do that today. But yeah, it's kind of weird because you're presenting an idea that's, like, at the beginning, it's just an idea, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So who were your first customers for Harley J?
Well, at first it was just my friends and stuff like that. And then I attended a couple events where I would give business cards. But what helped me like the most when I started was just giving away product to bloggers and also having my product in a few stores in around Vancouver as well. So yeah, that gave like the brand awareness in Vancouver.
So were you working with connections?
Well, not a lot of I think I had a little bit, and I had some relationships already with some of the stores because I was a customer, or I went in when my clothes were ready. I was like, hey, I have this new collection. And like, they all said yes. It was on a consignment basis, so it was no risk for them. And I made sure that the stores that I approached, like, had the same kind of aesthetic and vibe and mission as mine. So it worked out really well that way.
And it seems like community has played a really big part in the success of Harley J.
Yes, that's like my favorite part about having Harley J is the community that I've discovered. It's a lot of women, and it's just so cool to see us like do new things or old things in a different way. And I feel like we're all in the same boat together. Like it's not just me doing my own thing. Like, we're all working towards the same goal, and it's very fun to be part of this. Yeah.
So all that hard work did pay off, and you can find your clothes around Vancouver and online. What are you looking forward to with Harley J, and like, what are your next goals?
I think I don't know. I think for now, I'm just happy to like see the brand grow and have I'm really excited for the spring summer collection because it's going to be my first like full collection. And just I'm just hoping to see it in more stores and do more pop-ups. And I'm also hoping that I can start speaking at events about sustainable fashion and ethical fashion and all that stuff, because I don't want to just, you know, bring a new product to the world. Like, the mission behind a brand is actually really important to me. So I'm hoping that Harley J can be seen as kind of a pioneer in like educating people about ethical and sustainable fashion.
So your voice might be considered a pioneering voice in the sustainability and fashion industry in Vancouver. Why do you think that fashion is such a powerful force for sustainable change and conversations around sustainability?
Well, I mean, just the fact that every single one of us needs to get dressed every morning, I think it just speaks volume of like how important fashion is. I think, in my opinion, it's part of the whole like mindfulness movement and being intentional about what you do. I mean, it's fashion is a very polluting industry, again, because all of us need to wear clothes. So if we can just rethink the way we're doing fashion, it's not that hard. Like, I'm doing it. I'm a small brand. There's so many small brands doing it. I think that if we all care a little bit more about the clothes we put on our body and where they were sourced and how they were made, that can make a huge difference.
So in the past, you've wrestled with the idea of sustainability clashing with your passion in fashion. But now you've been able to find a way to merge these fields together through your own sustainable fashion brand. And you dreamed of being in fashion, and now you are. Is there anything you would have told your younger self back when you had just been getting started or just started studying?
I think I would have told myself, just, you're going to be okay. I'm a worrier, not a warrior, a worrier. It was, you know, looking back at that 1 year when I was after fashion and like in fashion school and not really knowing what I wanted to do, that was tough. But I mean, I wouldn't change where I am now. So it's hard to look back and say what advice I would have given myself, but maybe just that it's going to be okay would have been really helpful.
So nowadays, what keeps you going and moving and pursuing this dream?
It's really the mission behind the brand, like really hoping to contribute to changing the fashion industry and spreading the message of how important it is to dress ethically and sustainably. If it wasn't from that, I wouldn't have the brand, and I think that I wouldn't be motivated to keep going when the days are like really gray, like today. But the mission behind the brand, like the fact that, you know, I feel like I'm working towards a bigger goal, that's what keeps me going.
And as I always ask on the show, are there any specific words that you're currently living by?
I like embrace the journey. When the road is tough, it just sometimes I feel like we live in such a world of instant gratification that we often just look at the goal, or we get to the goal and then we just look at the next goal. But that's not what life is about. I think we need to embrace each and every moment and each and every day. And when things are hard, sometimes they're meant to be, and it's going to teach you something else. So yeah, when I have like a bad day or things are rough, I just think embrace the journey. It's part of the whole thing.
Yeah. So before we go, what are you excited about?
Yeah, I'm excited for the new collection, and I'm excited to announce new pop-ups outside of BC that I'm really excited about. Yeah.
So where can they find this new collection and anything else you're working on?
They can find us on a website, harleyj.com, and it's HARLYJAE. And on Instagram, we love Instagram, @harleyj.
Okay, so thank you so much for coming on the show. I really loved hearing your perspective on sustainable fashion and your own personal journey. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's been good. So see you later. Music is by Kevin McLeod, and the next program is Comedy Zeitgeist.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.